This is Ozarks at Large. A plot of land on Fayetteville's southern side remains divided by race. On one side, the Fayetteville National Cemetery's glistening white headstones form even lines across bright green grass. On the other side, crumbling rocks for tombstones, if a grave has one at all. Many are covered with leaves and long forgotten. This is Oak Cemetery, an African-American cemetery. Established in 1867, Oak Cemetery was the only location African Americans could be buried, and is the subject of the documentary film Oak Cemetery, A Forgotten Place, a production by University of Arkansas graduate students Tiffany King and John Cooper. Though produced as a school project, the film has gained local attention, even receiving the Mayor's Award for Outstanding Service in Historic Preservation. King, a former broadcast journalist, and Cooper, who has spent his career behind a camera for a different purpose, came together to tell this historical story. The two stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to discuss the film and the idea behind it.
A friend of mine who's also a journalist, she told me about Lem McPherson, who was an African-American police officer back in the 1920s. And there was no real record of his story. And she told me about that and told me that his grave was unmarked in the African-American cemetery here in town. I didn't know that there was an African-American cemetery here in town. And I've been here for about 10, 12 years. So this just really struck me as interesting, and I started doing the research and found a local historian, Jerry Hogan. He had done a lot of the research to find out the backstory about this gentleman who was killed in the line of duty. And to me, that sounded like a great news story. I could make a story that's about 2 minutes long on that subject, but we needed something that was a lot longer. So we just kind of started digging around and just following leads and really trying to find people here who have lived here forever, have lived in the African American community for decades, and just try to find out what their story is. And it seems like a story that hasn't really been told. And so we thought that this would be a great piece for our community.
And this African-American cemetery, Oak Cemetery, It's in what is it in the traditionally called the Tin Cup area?
No, it's not, actually. Okay. It's kind of adjacent to the Tin Cup area. It is located right behind the National Cemetery here in Fayetteville. And that's another thing that we thought was really interesting, because the National Cemetery, it's so beautiful and well-kept and a landmark here. And the two cemeteries share a fence. And if you just look over the fence, you see this cemetery that has been, you know, sort of fallen in a little disrepair. And so just that juxtaposition was really interesting.
So you see this, the National Cemetery, with its all-white headstones and beautifully kempt, and then yes, there's something where everything's falling over and falling apart, and
the visual was quite striking that we had to take. One thing that we used in the visual aspects was kind of compare the two to show that there's this really kept clean lawn compared to this other cemetery, to show that there is a big difference between the two, that it's, if you don't know it's there, you'll drive right past it.
And reaching out to the African-American community, did you find some hesitation to want to talk about the cemetery?
We found a little bit of hesitation, but once they found out that we were trying to tell their story, that they were very upfront in providing a lot of the information and photos to add to the visuals, and all of our people that we interviewed were very happy to be on camera and to allow us to use their story for our class. It was very, very kind of them to let us into their lives for a few months to help us out with that project.
And it was very emotional, too, because these, especially some of the older women that we interviewed in this piece, I mean, they've lived through so much with segregation. And just to be able to collect those stories before it's too late, because these ladies are in their 80s. And so to be able to gather those stories and really share them with everybody, it's invaluable, I think.
Completely off subject, but in interviewing, you know, World War II veterans, because there's so few remaining.
And, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned Lem McPherson. He died well after the African-American cemetery was formed, but he's still he kind of was the guy that led you into this story. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about him. I mean, and he doesn't have a headstone, right? Or didn't?
He didn't have a headstone. Okay. Like I said, J.B. Hogan, he's a local historian. He was just sort of going through, he's at the library, going through newspaper articles just to try and find a subject to kind of research. And he found city council minutes from back when Lem McPherson was killed, and it acknowledged that there was an African-American police officer on the payroll. And so he took that information and really tried to dig and find out what the story was with it, and found out. And the story with Lem McPherson is he was hired by Fayetteville Police to patrol the black section of town, and that's really where he had his jurisdiction. He got into a fight with another man and was gunned down in the Tin Cup area. And so he was killed in the line of duty. He was buried in the cemetery with probably a small marker, but nothing really descriptive. And so that story had fallen through the cracks. And just the fact that there was no place really marking where he finally was buried, nobody really, you know, talked about it. So JB did a bunch of research and reached out to people in the African-American community and figured out kind of where this where Lem McPherson's grave was. And so the police department then commissioned a headstone for Lem McPherson, since he was an officer who was killed in the line of duty. And so there's a beautiful headstone now that sits in that spot in the cemetery.
But it wasn't until JB started to do his research and really...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there... I can only imagine that there are so many other people that are buried there whose stories have fallen through the cracks. Did you uncover anything else?
Well, one of the most emotional points in filming and in the film itself was we were taking one of the ladies who was pretty instrumental in finding a lot of the stories, because she knew a lot of people. Her name is Betty Davis. And it was just one day we brought her out to the cemetery. We actually picked her up and drove her out to the cemetery, since she doesn't drive that much. And Tiffany and her were just walking around the cemetery, just listening to her stories of everybody that we came across. She knew every other headstone that we passed, she knew that person. And we were about to leave, and we just said, well, let's just look at this one last headstone. It's one of the larger ones in an older section of the cemetery, and it finds out that it's her great-grandfather, right, mm-hmm. who was a slave and who came to Fayetteville. And just Tiffany could speak more to the more of just how Betty reacted to that, finding that, and after seeing it for... I don't know, it's been decades since she's been there and seen that headstone.
She thought everything was gone. She had been to the cemetery but couldn't find the headstone. And we found out later that that headstone had actually been knocked over and covered by a bunch of brush. And so only recently was it uncovered and then placed back in the upright position. So when we stumbled upon that and I started reading the headstone off to her, she immediately broke down and started crying, because she thought that everything was gone. It was, you know, her great-grandfather who started their family here in Fayetteville. So it was a really emotional moment, and a great moment for her, too.
Well, you mentioned sort of that this tombstone had just fallen over and had been covered with brush. Since JB and yourselves have started this, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't call it really a movement, but you're just, you know, you're delving into this long-forgotten cemetery. Has there been some reaction in the community to sort of pick it up and take care of it?
It seems like it. We had a showing of our film at the Yvonne Richardson Center in February with Compassion Fayetteville, and a lot of city leaders and county leaders were there. And so I think that they now know more about the cemetery and are trying to get things kind of together to see if they can get some funding for the cemetery. I know people have spoken about trying to get it on the Register of Historic Places, things like that, so they can really take care of the cemetery, because it really is an important piece of our community.
Is it still active?
Yes. It's shrinking, though. There are fewer than 100 plots available in the cemetery right now. And it's landlocked, too. So if they need to expand, I don't know where they would.
Well, kind of switching gears to less of the story of the cemetery and more the story of the film. I know, just working on stories here, I mean, we sort of do long form. You know, a story can be 8 minutes, and that's long for a lot of news organizations. But to get down to that 8-minute story, I'll often have 2.5 hours of audio. You know, so I can only imagine that for your almost 20-minute long film, how much, you know, video footage you had. So what was that process like?
Well, one of of the biggest challenge we found out when we were going to do a documentary about a cemetery was, how do we make that visually interesting? Because it's just rows of this old cemetery, and how do you kind of turn that into a visual piece? And we turned to historical documents, documents and photos from the community. The Fayetteville police helped us out with a lot of kind of the newspaper clippings from the era of Lem McPherson and an era of Prohibition to allow us to kind of tell that side of the story. And even at one point, to tell Lem McPherson stories, we turned to recreation. So we, with the help of the Fayetteville police, we recreated the story of kind of in silent film, sepia-toned type of recreation, redid the whole shootout scene between him and the other gentleman in the thing. And the Fayetteville archives also had kind of the deeds of when the story was sold, or not the story, but the cemetery was sold by a benefactor in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. So
there was a lot of research that went on in this and trying to gather all those historic documents. And then for our interviews, too, when I worked at a television station and I was on a deadline every single day, the interviews had to be really sweet and to the point. But with this, you could really get a chance to know somebody. But we talked for several hours with those folks, and then we had to go through, log everything, and then find those sound bites, those things that we really wanted to use for the film. So it was a lot of work. It was really rewarding, but it did take a long time to sort of sift through all of the stuff we were collecting and let that story sort of reveal itself.
I wish I had that sort of time and flexibility. I mean, it is a lot of work, yeah, for sure. But often it's working on a big time deadline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, many documentary films have a narrator. How important is, how do you choose a narrator, and are you listening to their voice? How did you pick?
I think, first of all, with a narrator, we found out that it can't just be somebody who can read. It has to be somebody who can tell a story. And it has to be somebody that the audience connects with, somebody who's appropriate for sharing the story, and somebody that's coachable. Because it does take a long time in the audio booth to get, you know, your narrator to really get it right. And so, as I was working on my master's degree, I was also the grad assistant for the broadcast department, and so I was teaching some classes, and one of my students, he's wonderful, Joseph Holloway, he works at KNWA now. Congrats to him. Anyway, he was one of my students. He's very involved, and I knew that he had the talent because he did want to be a broadcaster, and so that's really how we chose.
I know, it's hard to, in my job, I keep comparing, but it's hard to just read something.
Yes.
And not sound like you're reading something.
It's tough.
Yeah, for sure.
We really spent the first hour in the audio booth with him just kind of getting the tone of the piece kind of worked out. It took us a while to get there, but through getting what we wanted and coaching Joseph around to what we needed, once we got it, it went very well, but it was just a matter of getting the right tone in his voice and the right way we wanted the story to be told, and then doing take after take after take of each one of those lines, actually in different inflections to based on what the script called for and what was happening. Mm-hmm. So if we were telling a real kind of more intense part of Lem McPherson's story, he would have a more kind of intense thing, or if it was more emotional, he'd kind of dial him back a little bit and tell a more emotional story at the time.
And John's a great coach. He's a great coach. And I think we made a really good partnership because I was used to doing the research and gathering the story and writing the story. John, his forte is really, you know, visual and editing. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to editing. So
thank you.
It was really, really great to be able to work together in that way. It was kind of like yin and yang to make the product, mm-hmm. you know, as polished as we could.
Mm-hmm. Well, the documentary on Oak Cemetery, it was a graduate school project, but it's been recognized in the community and it's been featured in community events. What is that like to get recognition for something, you know, I mean, other than just an A from your teacher?
It's amazing, really. And not really just the recognition. We did start this as a project, and it was sort of like, we have to get this finished. We want to make a good grade. But when we got into it, we realized it was something so much bigger than that. And with the recognition, more people are aware of the story, and we're exposing more people to the cemetery. And so that is our ultimate goal. And we don't want to pat ourselves on the back. It's not us. It's the community shining a spotlight on something that really is important. And so the more people who get exposed to this and who are able to see it, just, I mean, it's just wonderful.
It's a pretty great feeling to have a somewhat of an impact on your community. And that's kind of what one of our goals at the end were, just to tell a story that not a lot of people knew about and hopefully make at least a small difference in the community in which we work and live.
Tiffany King and John Cooper are graduate students in the documentary film track of the Journalism Master's Program at the University of Arkansas. They produced the film Oak Cemetery, A Forgotten Place. For more information on the film, visit oakcemetery.weebly.com. That's Weebly. This is Ozarks at Large.